News Services Division of Akashvani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary. As we explore the northeastern part of India, it becomes increasingly intriguing to know about it in each episode. Let me share the excitement in store for you. Today, we will take you on a spiritual tour of the temples of Tripura. We will also cover how in Mizoram, over 5 lakh tree saplings have been planted across the state under the Ek Ped Ma Ke Naam campaign. Additionally, we will also provide you a sneak peek into the first edition of the Wakro Butterfly Meet, which was recently held in Arunachal Pradesh. But for now, let's head over to Nagaland House in Delhi, which recently hosted the Autumn Festival. In a colorful and vibrant event, the Department of Tourism, Government of Nagaland, along with the Chief Resident Commissioner of Nagaland House, New Delhi, brought a taste of Nagaland's culture to the nation's capital with the Autumn Festival. This two-day celebration showcased the rich cultural heritage, traditional arts, crafts, dances and cuisine of the Naga people under the theme, A Prelude to Hornbill Festival. The event aimed to attract both locals and the visitors, preparing them for the Silver Jubilee celebration of the Hornbill Festival, which begins on December 1st, 2024. So friends, here is a report on that.
Autumn Wrapped. The preludial autumn festival of the 25th Hornbill Festive Edition, held from 18th to 20th of October at the Nagaland House premise in New Delhi, infused a longing for the distant eastern hills of Bharat, replete with delightful music, the twicking of craftsmanship, and wafts of sweet bamboo shoots, a signature ingredient of authentic Naga cuisine. While organic Naga jewelry coated in somber autumnal color codes shined bright upon their wearers, representative of 8+ eastern Nagamese tribes. For any Naga wearing their traditional jewelry in colors used by their ancient tribesmen is believed to endow upon them prosperity and protection.
My name is Mongshai Kemnyungan. Aro hamlo Dimapur se aaya abhi 10 saal se kaam karta hai banata hai yahi sthan hai hum log yaha start karke aro nikal ke ek jagah mein banata hai iske baad mein हाथ में सिलाता है हम लोग इसके बाद में मेखला है और शॉल है इसके बाद चुन्नी भी बनाता सकता है हम लोग यही माला है हम लोग का माला यही हम लोग के पुलना ना पुलना चमना ना ऐसे लगाने से बहुत अच्छा लगता है यही लगाना चाहिए हम लोग के जात के डिविजन है
Fashionista Kous Jaza, the sole entrepreneur of the famous Ukri craft, was heard reminiscing with pride in a moment with an old friend how their ancestors once upon a time adorned themselves with amber and conch shells, concluding nevertheless that nowadays they are doing just fine adorning themselves with colored glass beads, hoping for a sustainable future. Stalls besides Ukri craft like Bamboo Hut, Angia, Ranbir Nagaland, Kintem and Women Folk, a thriving Naga brand under Nagaland State Rural Livelihood Mission, domineeringly highlighted a spirited feminine ambience as much as the bold voice of the internationally acclaimed Nagamese singer Nishi Lau Kyang Konyak, who took the stage by storm on its last day. and her fellow singer Mr. Samuel Garnier compelled the audience to delve into the musical world of the 70s, endorsing the long-standing Nagami's poetic notion, nothing starts, nothing ends, followed by the Kohima-based DGP band of the quote-unquote Nagaland for Peace and Harmony concert fame. From the News Services Division, Akashvani Delhi, I'm Priyam Chatterjee signing off for Northeast Diary.
And now we explore the beauty of biodiversity in Arunachal Pradesh. In Lohit District, the first edition of the Wakro Butterfly Meet was held from October 18th to 19th at Kamplang Tiger Reserve and Wildlife Sanctuary. Over 205 butterfly species were recorded during the meet. Here is a report from our Itanagar correspondent, Rakesh Dole.
The very first edition of the Wakro Butterfly Meet, organized by the Wakro Valley Nature Club in collaboration with Kamplang Tiger Reserve and Wildlife Sanctuary, recorded over 205 butterfly species. The event attracted butterfly enthusiasts from the state and across the country, including Assam, Delhi, Tamil Nadu and Bangalore. The highlight of this exciting meet was the discovery of a rare species, the green-striped palmer, which had never been recorded in Arunachal Pradesh before. Among the other rare species were the columbine, brown prince, green and white dragon tail, red-spotted sawtooth, and the magnificent golden birdwing. The participants witnessed an awe-inspiring array of butterflies in their natural habitat in the Kamplang Tiger Reserve. Apart from celebrating the natural beauty of these butterflies, the Wakro Butterfly Meet also aimed to raise awareness about conservation, while also boosting the local economy through tourism and education. This butterfly meet was not just only about butterflies, but also brought together the community, local youths and the students from the area. The Kamplang Valley Nature Club, consisting of passionate local youths, organized the event with minimal resources supported by the Forest Authority. Their dedication to nature conservation played a key role in the event's success. The two-day event was a significant step towards engaging the community in environmental conservation, and it is sure to become an annual highlight in promoting Arunachal Pradesh's rich natural heritage. For Northeast Diary, this is Rakesh Sole, Akashvani News, Itanagar.
Hariyali ki chadar phailaye
In Mizoram, more than 5 lakh tree saplings have been planted across the state under the Ek Ped Ma Ke Naam campaign. The essence of Ek Ped Ma Ke Naam is a symbolic gesture, planting a tree in the name of one's mother. This simple act serves a dual purpose, honoring the role of mothers in nurturing life and contributing to the health of the planet. Trees are life-sustaining, and just like a mother, they provide sustenance, protection and a future for the next generation. Through this initiative, participants can create a lasting memory by planting a tree as a living tribute to their mothers while also addressing the pressing need for the environment preservation. So, we have more details from our ISOC correspondent, Irene.
Speaking exclusively to Akashvani, Divisional Forest Officer of Aizawl and Nodal Officer of the campaign, Vanlal Nunpuimhar, said that following the appeal made by Prime Minister Narendra Modi, the Mizoram government has taken massive efforts in tree plantation drive for the success of the campaign. She said that Ek Ped Ma Ke Naam campaign was launched in the state on June 5th this year on the occasion of World Environment Day. Vanlal Nunpuimhar said that more than 5 lakh new tree saplings have been planted since the commencement of the campaign. She further said that reports of tree plantation keeps coming in till today and that the tree species which are being planted are most suitable for Mizoram soil and environment.
Hello, this is Vanlal Nunpuimhar, the FO Forest Extension Division. I am happy to say that Mizoram is taking a very enthusiastic role in planting trees under the Ek Ped Ma Ke Naam campaign. Till date, it has been reported that more than 5 lakh trees have been planted across the state. And these photographs have been uploaded, and the uploading of photographs and video is still ongoing. This is not the sole initiative of the EFNCC department Mizoram, but a collective effort of all other government departments, schools, colleges, NGOs, and village councils, as well as the public. Furthermore, it is worthy to mention that school education department has extensively contributed towards the success of this ongoing Ek Ped Ma Ke Naam campaign.
It may be mentioned that Mizoram has the highest forest cover in India as a percentage of its total geographical area at 84.53. In the campaign, various departments of the government, schools, colleges, universities, NGOs, village councils, local councils and various individuals have taken part with devotion and enthusiasm for the success of the campaign. Irene, Akashvani, Aizawl.
Northeast Diary program, broadcast every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., brings very interesting and enchanting stories from the 8 Indian states of Northeast India. Don't forget to tune in.
Tripura is famous for a large number of temples of Hindus and Buddhists, where one can get to experience a very peaceful and tranquil atmosphere. Temples of Tripura, with their beautiful architectural design and calm and tranquil settings, offer a suitable option for pilgrimage. Tourists and devotees from all corners of the world visit the Tripura temples, which are reputed for their grand design and attractive sculptures. Let's embark on the journey of Temples of Tripura with our special correspondent, Soma Basu.
The princely state of Tripura is considered to be the Gomukh of Northeast. Gomukh, that is an auspicious emblem. Tripura is a political entity as well, with legends tracing its existence to the days of epic Mahabharata. It is also the ancient land of mysterious past. It has ever been a melting pot for tribal and non-tribal cultures, producing an exotic cultural synthesis. Having a romance about itself, Tripura fascinates one with the antiquity of the land and the charm of its picturesque landscape. It has flourished as a repository of ancient religion and sculpture for centuries, and thus claims a prominent place in the tourist map of the country. We begin our pilgrimage from Udaipur, some 55 kilometers away from Agartala, which is the capital of Tripura. It houses the temple of Tripura Sundari, considered to be one of the 51 pithas mentioned in the Hindu Tantras. This Kali temple, popularly known as Mata Bari, crowns the Kalyan Sagar hillock with a wide expanse of water on its east. Consisting of a square-type sanctum, so typical of Bengali huts, the Mata Bari is served by the red-robed priests who traditionally minister to the Mother Goddess. A large fair is held every year during Diwali in October-November. It is known that the temple was first constructed by Maharaja Dhanya Manikya in 1501 AD. It was repaired by Maharaja Rama Manikya in 1681 AD when it was damaged by lightning, and again by Maharaja Radha Kishorpur Manikya in the beginning of the century. According to an inscription note on the monuments in the Tripura state visited by the Director General Archaeology of India in 1952, there are two identical images of Tripura Sundari inside the temple. The one called Chotima appears to be the original and measures about 2 feet, while the other is about 5 feet. It is difficult to date the image of Chotima accurately as it is worn out. Moreover, the attributes in her hands are either too much blurred or lost. The inspection note also observes that Goddess Tripura Sundari, being the tutelary deity of the Tripura Raj, seems to have been brought by these rulers and may perhaps be dated to the 15th century AD, even on grounds of style. For it has the four-armed goddess standing in Sthanaka pose on the body of Shiva. She wears the Jatamukuta, a Munda Mandala consisting of 13 human skulls. Beyond this age-old temple, there is a big tank called Dhani Sagar, the abode of old tortoises, looking forward to pilgrims for food offerings. It is said, when any of these wise tortoises is to die, it approaches the altar of the temple and breathes its last there. Another Shakta temple worth paying a visit is Kasba Kalibari. Like the Tripura Sundari temple of Udaipur, Kasba Kalibari is also situated on a hillock overlooking a wide pool of water called Kamala Sagar. Here, of course, the order is reverse. That is to say, the tank is older than the temple. An interesting sandstone image of the goddess resembling Dashabhuja Durga or Mahisasur Mardini is erroneously worshipped as a Kali due to the presence of a Shivalinga at its feet. Now, this is considered to be a rare evidence in the field of Hindu iconography, and the image is assigned to 15th century AD. Famous not only from the pilgrim's point of view, the Jagannath Temple in Agartala is a remarkable architectural feat with its octagonal base and its impressive pradikshina path around the sanctum. The pillars are crowned by a square pyramidal cone arising above a multifoil niche which comes at the level of the terrace. It is indeed a connoisseur's delight. However, the cynosure of all eyes is also the other Jagannath temple at Udaipur. On the southwest bank of the famous Jagannath Dighi, in the heart of the Udaipur town, which was once the capital of Tripura, is found the ruins of Jagannath temple, a rare specimen of temple architecture in Tripura. There are two schools of thought regarding the temple here. According to Udaipur Bibaran, Daitya Narayana, the general-in-chief of Maharaja Vijaya Manikya in 1529 to 1560 AD, brought the image of Lord Jagannath from Puri and installed it here. This image was afterwards removed from this temple and kept at Komila. But according to the author of Silalipi Samagraha, the temple was built and dedicated to Vishnu, jointly by Maharaja Govinda Manikya and his younger brother Jagannath Deva in 1661 AD. In a style characteristic of Mohammedan fashion, the Jagannath temple is a typical temple with a vertical portion built of stone and the top crowned with a dome with vaulted roof. Old Agartala is still visited by a good number of pilgrims every year on the occasion of Karchi Puja in July at the temple of Chaturdas Devata, which was built here when the 14 deities were removed from Udaipur. The temple, just 5 miles away from Agartala town, represents a combination of Hindu faith and tribal cults. The images represent only the heads of the gods and goddesses worshipped, who have been identified with Shiva, Durga, Vishnu, Lakshmi, Vani, Samudra, Ganga, Agni, Kamadeva and Himadri. Made of an alloy of 8 metals and regarded as the presiding deities of the royal house, they are attended and worshipped only by the tribal priest of the Tripuris and not the Brahmin Chantais. There is a richly engraved throne in the temple on which normally three of the godheads are enshrined, and it is only during the Kharchi Puja that all the 14 gods are brought in the open for worship in public. The oldest ruins of this region are to be found at Unkoti, about 200 kilometers from Agartala. Huge figures of the Hindu deities and epic characters have been found carved on both sides of a meandering hill rack emerging from bushes. An awesomeness fills the atmosphere as one journeys through this grand panorama of picturesque hills at the background and confronts the colossal figures of Hindu pantheon cut out of rocks. The hilly Tirtha Unkoti, which means one less than a crore, is a holy shrine reckoned as one of the most sacred pilgrimages to eastern India. According to the archaeological report, Unkoti is a Saivya pilgrimage at least from the 8th or 9th century. The images on the rocky walls of the hills here are mainly of two types, rock-carved figures and stone images. Among the rock-carved figures, the central Shiva head and the enormous Ganesha figure deserve a special mention. Among the other images which leave an indelible impression in the mind for their fine execution are the Chaturmukha and Trimukha Lingas, which are worshipped at an elevation of Unkoti Hills. The three faces of Shiva are carved on the three sides of its Rudra Bhaga and the back face is damaged. Yet another image of the Linga bears four well-carved figures shown up to the waist on the four sides of its Puja Bhaga. The 11th or 12th century image of Ekamukha Linga is placed on the upward slope of Unkoti Hills. The shape of this linga is spherical and the face of Shiva is carved on it. At the top of the hill, images of Vishnu, Panchamukha, Ravana, Narasimha, seated Ganesha, Hanuman, etc. are found. There are many more images which are yet to be identified, but images having stamp of many known and obscure religious cults tend to prove that though initially started as a center of Saivya pilgrimage, other religious sects did not lag behind in the art of rock carving at Unkoti in view of its outstanding religious importance. The South Tripura district has many important places to visit. Radhakishorpur, formerly known as Udaipur, stands on the left bank of River Gumti. The ruins of the old palace of Govinda Manikya Bahadur and the famous Bhubaneswar temple situated there are now surrounded by dense jungles. However, the palace and the temple have been immortalized through Tagore's famous plays, Rajarshi and Bishorjun. On the right bank of River Gumti is the Tripureshwari temple. It is a Satipitha, a place where parts of Sati's dismembered body were said to have fallen. A myth goes that right leg of Sati fell there. The Benu Bana Bihar, a Buddhist temple in Agartala, bears testimony to the fact that from the years of yore, Tripura has been extending hospitality and patronage to the religion and culture of its neighbors. The quiet temple and the monastery on a picturesque setting is indeed an embodiment of serenity. The three temples constituting the Mahadeva Bari are erected in a well-defined enclosure. The sanctum of the temple is circular from the base, and in that respect, it differs from the temples of the Gunavati group and neighboring shrines of Udaipur. This temple was built in 1672 AD. The hydroelectric power station at Dumbur Lake near Nootan Bazaar is also a holy place of visit. 73 miles from Agartala, the source of Gumti is mainly a pilgrimage for both the tribals and the non-tribals who flock the place every year on the occasion of Posh Sankranti in the month of January for a holy dip in the placid water of the Dumbur Lake. The place, unique for its scenic beauty, is also the site for a large fair where the tribal population make annual purchases for their families. The Peak of the Gods, or Deotamora as it is called, is an extensive range of hills situated in between Udaipur and Amarpur subdivisions. This has become a place of tourist interest owing to a panel of images found carved on the hills facing River Gumti. It is really astonishing to see such a good number of images carved high up on the steep rocky wall of the hill covered with thick jungles. The images are no doubt crude in conception like those at Udaipur, but may not be so antique. So, that was Tripura, the enchanting land of delectable range of temples.
Bor Geet, Songs Celestial, are a collection of lyrical songs that are set to specific ragas.
These songs, composed of Srimanta Shankaradeva and Mahadeva in the 15th and 16th centuries, are used to begin prayer services in monasteries. Zatra, that is Satara, and Namghar associated with the Ekasharna Dharma. And they also belong to the repertoire of music of Assam outside the religious context. These are written in ancient Assamese, which is a mix of Maithili, Braj Boli, and regional dialects. Here we bring you a soulful Assamese Bhor Geet by Papon. With that, we come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Do join us next week to hear more stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye.
This program was produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the News Services Division of Akashvani.